to Getting It Right After Getting It Wrong on AM 570 and 910 WTBN.
Well, we're glad to have you back with us tonight, and we have our special guest that was with us last week, and we wanted to bring her back because we want to take some time to just talk about moms and honor moms. And our guest is Deborah Cody. Deborah, thank you for coming back and being with us again.
Hi, Kurt. It's wonderful to be here.
We're excited about you having the opportunity to be back with us. And, you know, as you think about moms, you always have to stop and think about your own mom and think about the influence that your mom has on you. And, you know, life brings all kind of stuff at you. And one of the things that I have found that's always been an anchor in my life is my mom. And it burdens me when you hear stories about people that don't have the opportunity to have a mom that connects with them and walk the journey with them, not just a part of their life, but all their lives.
Yeah.
And there's so much research that's done on what happens to kids that turn into adults because of their perception or maybe the reality of a disconnect with a parent. And then there are those moms out there that, you know, they've just knocked the ball out of the park. And Deborah's written, I think the count last week was 7 books. I think I counted stacked up here. And you've got devotionals, you've got some novels, you've got a book on helping startup writers, wannabe writers. And also Deborah has a writing conference coming up, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. But her newest book is Moms Need Chocolate. And she believes in it because she bought me a little goodie bag full of chocolate here. And the downside is if you hear any crunching on the radio, you'll know that's I'm crunching on
Dads
a little bit of the chocolate.
Chocolate.
So yeah, that's right. Thank you. No discrimination here. That's right. But Deborah, I want to take just a minute and read a little part out of Moms Need Chocolate, because you know, I think a lot of times moms go underrated, and so today, once again, I try to be a little bit apprised of what we're going to be talking about. So I did a little research today and checked out some Department of Labor, some statistics and some other things, and I came across an article that talked about the value of a mom. And it says that in corporate America, based on all the things that moms do at home, that if they were to get paid, they would be equivalent in the workforce to over $139,000. It was $139,500-some thousand. And I'm thinking, you know what, that's probably, you know, selling mom short a little
bit. Preach it, brother.
Yeah. So there are probably some moms out there going, hallelujah, and some dads going, would you shut up, dude? But let me just read this, because I think this is the heartbeat of why you wrote this book, Moms Need Chocolate. And then Debbie's going to talk to us, or Deborah, I'm sorry, I have a sister named Debbie.
No, that's fine, I'm Debbie, too.
Okay, so my sister name's Debbie, and when she's called Deborah, it's when she's in trouble.
Oh.
So I'm used to Debbie. But I think this just kind of portrays the heartbeat of why you wrote this book, as I was looking at Moms Need Chocolate. And then Deborah's going to talk to us a little bit more about some of her novels and the reality of the novels and what the message is and how God has worked in people's lives, because we're really about trying to help give people resources and connect with reality and that there is hope. And I think that's what you're trying to do is through your writings and saying is that no matter what your situation is, how broken your family is, the dysfunctional, that in God there's hope.
Absolutely.
So let me read this real quick. And this is out of her book in the introduction to Moms Need Chocolate. It says, a busy woman can spend weeks, even years, in the dully funks. And that is a word that's Deborah's word, dully funks. So you cannot steal it. In the dully funks, functioning, taking care of her family, but not experiencing the fullness of life Jesus promised to believers in John 10:10. And that is, my purpose is to give life in all of its fullness. That's what this book's all about. A mom helping other moms trust God to interpret His joy as we learn to apply His word in our crazy mud between the toes. Help us, Jesus, before we tear out our last hairs in real life. That's a mouthful. A joyful life really is possible. The joy of hot fudge doesn't even compare with the joy of the Lord. Don't get me wrong. I'm not denying reality. Bad things happen. Like you, I paid my dues through disasters, disappointments, and depression, which I candidly share in these pages. I've certainly done my share of grousing, but through God's grace, like the psalmist, I've learned, oh, the joy of those who put their trust in Him. And that's Psalms 2:12. And I think that's a great testament of your vulnerability that you want to put out there. And of course, that's what Paul calls us to in 2 Corinthians, is that when we go through pain, is that the part of the healing and the blessing, and that is to share with others. So, Deborah, talk to us a little bit. Why did you write a book called Moms Need Chocolate? Where did the title come from? And then just tell us a little bit about the impact that you want this book to have in moms' lives.
Well, the chocolate part is actually the comfort factor, that we do need chocolate in reality. It's not the answer to all problems, but it sure does help.
Yeah.
But the comfort that we get and the stimulation and just the pick-me-up that we get from chocolate, we can get from Papa God, too, if we think to turn to Him.
Right.
And so many moms, me included, kind of check the joy of the Lord out on the doorstep because we're so engrossed in motherhood. And I have a vivid memory of a time when my kids were young. I was standing at the front door with my sister as she was leaving. My arms were full of laundry that had yet to be folded and put away and ironed and whatnot. And the dog was clawing at my leg to go out, and my son was screaming over a broken toy. And I looked at my sister and I said, "Where did the joy go?" I don't even remember the last time I felt joy. And
honest.
It's true. And so many moms are there. And that's why I wrote the book, Mom Needs Chocolate, to try to shine a light at the end of that tunnel so that they can know motherhood, you can get out the end of the tunnel with your faith intact and even stronger than it was before, and to just give them hope, like you just said.
So from that experience in your life, where did you go from? I mean, there's a lot of mothers that they can identify with what you just said. They just feel overwhelmed, and sadly enough, a lot of times, you know, we as men are a little slow sometimes.
No.
You know, you know, we experience a little Dane Bramage every now and then, and we don't get it sometimes. What was the catalyst at that moment to help you start moving toward experiencing His joy so you could put it on printed page?
Well, I think that we have to learn that our fulfillment and our needs are met only by Papa God, and we can't look to our husbands for that, or anyone else for that matter. And my kind of logo, my slogan is, we need God, Godiva, and girlfriends. That's what we need, and in that order, not necessarily, but the God part anyway is first. And, you know, once we can tune in to Him, and we have to be obedient in that, we have to carve out a little time every day to devote to Him, because we're going to get out of it what we put into it. And if we can devote that little God time, when I was a kid, I know my mom used to, her God time was in the bathtub in the evening. And I remember I was probably 4 or 5 banging on the door, "Mama!" And she would say, "Go away, I'm having my God time." And, you know, my God time when my kids were little was to disappear into the closet and shut the door and lock the door. And that was what I needed. I would spend my time with the Lord, and that's our rejuvenating time. It gives us the joy of the Lord back in our hearts if we can just take a breath, take a time out.
Did you find that a lot of times you were tempted not to do that? That the enemy came in, and I think that's the battle that Christians have. And I don't want to, I don't in any way want to be discriminating. And if I am, you can tell me. But sometimes it seems like maybe women's carry the guilt thing a little bit more than men.
Yes, we're wired that way.
Yeah. And I'm glad you agreed.
I do.
Because now I'm safe.
My husband says I wouldn't do anything except for guilt motivation, but, you know.
I just need a woman to agree with me so I didn't get a bunch of bad calls. but, yeah, I think they, you know, feel guilty sometimes of just stopping. I know my wife, I mean, you know, bless her heart, she is such an incredible mom. But she runs 24/7, and I'm constantly saying, "Would you stop? Would you stop? Would you just slow down?" But it's she's wired to be that mom. I mean, she feels called to be that mom. How do women deal with that guilt that the enemy may say, "You don't have time. It's not going to help you. You'll neglect your kids. You'll neglect your husband." Because a lot of times, I think the enemy throws spiritual stuff at us to try to trick us. You know, well, if you spend time with God, somebody's gonna, their needs aren't gonna be met. So how do moms work through that, especially moms that, you know, not just stay-at-home moms, but stay-at-home moms are employed moms in my book, because they are employed.
You bet.
You know, this is we live in a society that I think is just jacked up that says, well, moms that don't work, moms at home work, and then that's just all there is to it.
Absolutely.
I don't care if the kids are in school, moms work. But you have moms that work at home, and then they work a full-time job. Give us some tips for moms to say, hey, here's how you can get over that guilt factor.
Well, I was always, as my kids were growing up, I was very fortunate to be a part-time occupational therapist and a part-time piano teacher, as well as a mom at home and a wife, and tried to get, I was a tennis player too, isn't that fun? But, you know, I think the key to that, I felt like the days that I actually worked at work, I was getting a reprieve, because the days at home were harder. But I think it's a matter of making it a priority, right, to realize that that is the most important thing. Your relationship with God comes before, right, your relationship with your husband or with your kids. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to get that discombobulated, right, through the we are in charge and we can't slow down sometimes, we think,
right,
because we have to get it done. If we don't, who will?
Right.
And we get that, we talk, mm-hmm, to ourselves, and our self-talk is destructive in,
right,
that way. And we just get it, our priorities a little mixed up. And we just have to make sure that we make that God time number one.
Right.
It has to happen. We have to schedule it.
Mm-hmm.
We have to push everything else aside, and it's just something we have to do.
Yeah. I think you just hit a key thing, is the self-talk. I mean, that's huge. I think that's the battle for all of us in the Christian life. Tell us a little bit about one of the stories that you wrote that may be one of your favorite stories, or give us a little taste of some chocolate in your book.
Okay. Well, this actually, I'm going to read you chapter two, because okay, they're all short chapters, and they're good for, at night before you go to bed, and even in the bathroom. I've been told that I'm a potty writer because people leave these in the bathrooms, and I get letters from men who say, this is a great book. Why does it say moms need chocolate? But this one kind of encapsulates the whole idea. It's chapter two, Greed for Seed or Chocolate. I'll never forget Thelma and Louise, the field mice who moved into our Smoky Mountain cabin when we closed it for winter. I hated to throw out 3 cups of birdseed left in the feeder as we packed away the yard doodads until spring, so I left the nearly full bird feeder inside, propped against the living room wall. Apparently, our guests let themselves in and spent the winter happily hunkered down in the cabin, busily depositing birdseed in every possible nook and cranny. I can picture them stuffing their bulging cheeks and making trip after trip to store their treasure for future feasts, thinking they'd soon be kicking up their little mice feet up on a table and enjoying the good life. Come spring, we found a full cup of birdseed sequestered in one kitchen drawer and plentiful pawfuls spread throughout every cabinet, closet, and drawer, beneath couch cushions, and even between the bed sheets. Sadly, we also found the spent bodies of Thelma and Louise, keeled over from sheer exhaustion beside the empty bird feeder. Because of their consuming greed for seed, they had literally worked themselves to death in their futile attempt to store up treasure. Treasure comes in all shapes and sizes. One's bird seed may be another's money, electronic toys, flashy cars, or chocolate. For me, chocolate summons ravaging primeval greed, the depth of which is utterly frightening. One piece is never enough. Must have handfuls, basketfuls, barrelfuls, more, always more. Something about that creamy, delicious, delightful stuff causes my usually controllable gluttony drive to override my good sense and throw all reason out the window. If there's a chocolate bar, I'll eat the whole thing. If there's a bag, I'll empty it. If there's a crate, I'll consume every crumb inside. And I do it with full knowledge that I shouldn't, that my derriere is already a sacrificial altar to the Snickers God. Smoke billows from my friction generated by my inner thighs when I run. I don't know why I bother putting chocolate through my lips. I should just smear it directly on my hips. And I need to add a little postscript here. I know you're looking at me, left buddy, here. I've lost 40 pounds since I wrote this.
Now, back to Getting It Right After Getting It Wrong on AM 570 and 910 WTBN.
Welcome back. With our special guest, Deborah Cody, and she was reading one of her stories in her book, Mom Needs Chocolate, and it was kind of interesting as we broke the news there, had a commercial on losing weight, and you just said you'd lost how many pounds?
Actually, 42.
42 pounds, my goodness, and you know, I can't imagine that. There's not much of you sitting in that chair as it is. So.
Thank you.
But she was talking about how she just would devour chocolate, and that was the comfort food, and isn't it true that a lot of times that I think the point of that story is that a lot of times, maybe because moms don't feel like they have some place that they can go and unload their stuff, that they find self-medicating issues.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what you're saying there is that, you know, God is that medication.
He can be,
yeah.
If we just think to look to Him.
Right, yeah. And what I like about in your book is that at the end of each chapter, you have a little faith in action,
mm-hmm,
where the readers can take it, read through it, ask some tough questions, and kind of do some self-assessment on where they are and related to that type of thing. And so I think that's a neat book. It's a great book. Some of the chapters in here, I think, you've got some hilarious titles. You're very creative. dancing in King David's shoes, suck a lemon, spit the seeds. The lions, the itch, and the wardrobe dealing with depression. There's just a lot of neat titles in here covering everything from nutritional choices to judging others to self-worth, from money to sleep deprivation. I mean, these are things that you've walked through in your life. Mm-hmm. These are stories, and so you've taken from what God has done in your life. And
yes.
I think that's just a neat thing that you've been willing to put yourself out there. And
well, you feel kind of like your laundry is hanging out there
right.
on the line for all to see,
yeah.
but I think that people need real.
Right.
They
uh-huh.
need to know that
Absolutely.
We can apply our faith and mm-hmm. that, you know, the scripture is real and
yeah.
is something we can use to live by.
Yeah. You know, I've got a buddy that pastors a church in the South Shore area, and he said, you know, Kurt, we need a revolution. We don't need a revival among churches. We need a revolution for the sake of what the cross is all about. We need American Christians to wake up and start living in the victory and to be vulnerable with one another and start, you know, confessing to one another. You know, he said he even went to his board and just confessed everything to his board, even told his board that he had talked about them to other people.
Oh,
and I'm thinking, man, you are huge. And that's his thing, is that, and he wants to start a revolution because, you know, we're missing, you know, what you're talking about here. And so, moms, it's a great book. If you have a question that you'd like to ask Debbie regarding being a mom and the challenges and the struggles you have with everything from raising kids to paying the bills, if you handle the finances, you know, she covers everything here, and we'd love to be able to have you as listeners call in. You can get us in Tampa at 287-5700, outside of Tampa area, 877-943-9673. And I know Deborah would love to be able to talk with you and answer any questions that you might have. But let's shift gears a little bit, because you've written more than just Mom Needs Chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
You've written a couple novels. And I think one of the novels you wrote was your first novel, your first book. Is
yes,
that
it was. Mm-hmm. The Distant Shore took 2 years to write. Mm-hmm. I started writing it about 6.5 years ago.
And the thing that ties in so well with what we're trying to do here, getting it right after getting it wrong, is that you've taken a real story. This is a true story. And it deals with the dysfunction within a family.
Yes.
And how God begins to unravel that. So talk to us a little bit about this story, because this story, if I remember right, this story was a story that was told to you by one of your patients.
Well, I'm an occupational
right.
therapist,
mm-hmm.
and I was working with a fellow who, it's actually the story of his grandmother,
mm-hmm.
her life back, and she was a little girl in 1904, which is the setting for the story, on Merritt Island, which at the time was, there was no way, it was inaccessible except by boat, and it was very remote and untamed and wild, a lot of critters, you know, roaming around. They called them panthers
uh-huh.
on the island, and there's a lot of those critters in the book. But the basic story took place when a young girl was sent away from her family and to this island to live with an aunt who she didn't know, who didn't want her there.
Mm.
And the little girl who's in the book, her name is Emily, and she is trying to understand this and trying to come to grips with having been rejected. And her family falls apart around her, and on the island she discovers a very dark family secret that is devastating to her. And through the course of the book, you're understanding and trying to figure out what's going on, the mystery,
mm-hmm.
As well. But she discovers faith while she's there, a wonderful godly sea captain. Captain Stone introduces her to Papa God, who becomes her source of everything, her strength, her comfort, her salvation. And it's a wonderful story. It's heartwarming. It's got a lot of surprises in it. And I get letters all the time from people who say that God used different aspects of the story to touch their lives in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And that thrills me, because that was my prayer before I wrote The Distant Shore and then its sequel, Billowing Sails,
mm-hmm.
that God would use the book in some way, on whatever level the reader had a need to touch them and to speak to them. And some of the letters I've gotten have just made me cry.
Mm. Tell us about some of those letters that have impacted some people's lives.
I got one from one lady in her 50s who said that she was reading the book and didn't really know what it was about, and got about halfway through and realized the element of familial abuse that was running through the book. And she herself had been abused as a child by a stepdad. She and her 3 siblings, and during that day, it was very different than it was now. People knew, but they did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Her neighbors knew, her school knew, even her mom knew, and nothing was done, and the abuse continued. And until she left home at 18 and never looked back, and as did her siblings. And so all these years later, she's just stuffed that, and she's never, ever dealt with it. And it has affected her relationships and her life, she said in her letter to me. But she didn't really put that together until she read The Distant Shore. And God used that to let her know it was time to deal with it.
Deal with it and be set free.
Yes.
You know, I imagine the statistics are just mind-boggling of people that have gone through some type of physical abuse, sexual abuse, even people, you know, women that have gone through even abortions, and they've never been able to freely deal with that because, you know, there was a day and time which, you know, you didn't talk about that.
Correct.
And they were never allowed to. They were, you know, there was more threat, and if they did discuss it, the family may have been prominent in the community. And so these people grow up, and that's a generational thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so grateful that you've taken and had the insight to write a book in that the story of this 50-year-old woman. What a tragedy to wait till you're 50 to begin to get out of that stronghold in your life. Tell us a little bit about how the book points people toward God, and that there is a redemptive God, and there is a God that does not condemn us, and that he sets us free from any kind of sin.
I think the aspect of having a Papa God is very meaningful to people. That's what Emily began to call him in the book, Papa God, because her earthly father was non-existent in her life and had disappointed and let her down and let their whole family down, and the whole family fell apart basically because of a sin in his life that was undealt with. And I get a lot of people to tell me, wow, I just love to think of God that way, as my Papa God. For whatever reason in their lives, they've had a void. Maybe it's a father who just wasn't attentive or wasn't present, or maybe it wasn't a father at all. Mm. Maybe it was just a hole of love missing. And when they begin to view God as Papa God, it opens up a whole, and he is our Abba Father. That's
Absolutely.
What the Bible calls him. And it opens up a whole new aspect of your relationship with God, a closeness and an intimacy that you may not have otherwise if you don't think of him that way.
Let me ask you this question, and if you're listening tonight, ladies, and you've been through a journey, and you say, you know, that's me, and she's talking about my life, and I am drowning in this sea of pain and hurt. You know, we want you to know that tonight we're here to listen to you, and want to really encourage you to, if you want to call in. We'd love to be able to talk to you and help you through this process, but you don't have to go through your life living with these dark, deep secrets. And one of my fears is that, you know, in my generation, you know, sin was sin, just like it is when the Bible was done. What was sin then is sin now. But for some reason, we morally and ethically put it in a different category that, well, God will forgive it, but we don't deal with it. You know, you just deal with it with God, and we just kind of stuff it away. Whereas today, we're dealing with more being authentic, being real, being vulnerable. And I just personally think there's a lot of people in my generation, which, you know, I'm 52 years of age, that are stuffing things in because if it were known in their lives, they would have felt like society would reject them, or their parents would have felt like that, you know, their home or their family would have been rejected. And there's a lot of people, I think, that are just living in bondage in this. And so as a woman who has written this book and have researched this, what would be some things that women would need to do to get out of this bondage and this stronghold that they may be living in because they're holding on to this baggage from their childhood?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not an expert in that, but just from my life, when I have been in a two-year depression, a very deep pit that I had a hard time clawing my way out of because of, it was basically due to a series of 6 miscarriages and disappointment and anger at God, and estranged myself purposely from him because I was so angry and hurt. The way that I was able to get out of that eventually was sheer obedience. I read the word every day, even though I didn't want to. I read the angry Psalms. And in my book, I deal with that in the chapter on depression, and I list them.
And there's a bunch of them.
Oh, there are. They're wonderful for that. David beating on God's chest, you know, and he can take that.
I was reading that today, and I thought, man, David, you're one ticked off dude.
Yeah.
What is your deal?
And we all feel that way at some time. And it's wonderful, I think, to be able, when you can't pray, you can use those Psalms as your prayers. And they open that connection connection to God when you just can't open it any other way.
Right.
And it keeps the connection open, and the tunnel of his love will flow through there gradually, and it's a healing type of thing. It can take a long time.
Yeah.
Took about 2 years for me, and you know, even longer in the process.
Right.
But I was able to once again feel.
Right.
And I love this scripture. Okay. I would like to share this with women that might be going through that very problem right now, where they just don't, it's Ezekiel 36:26, and it's when you feel that your heart has turned into a stone. And it talks about God. He says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you and remove your heart of stone. I love that scripture.
That's a great verse. We're going to be right back with Deborah, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this. Deborah, thank you. And for somebody who's not an expert, you gave us great advice. Call in 287-5700 in Tampa, 877-943-9673 outside of Tampa if you've got a question or a comment. We thank you for listening, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Now, back to Getting It Right After Getting It Wrong on AM 570 and 910 WTBN.
Well, you're back with Deborah Cody, our special guest, and I'm Kurt Miller on Getting It Right After Getting It Wrong on WTBN. We've been talking about moms and talking about the books that Debbie has written. Debbie, you've done a great job, I think, just covering not only just the novel side, but you've got some devotionals. And we want to celebrate moms. We really do. And moms, many times, there's a lot of single moms out there that are there. And you know, and unfortunately, we live in a society in which we're seeing more single moms, and I see it, you know, every day in our schools that I operate, and we see, you know, we see it in the kids' lives, and, you know, moms feel overwhelmed. If you were to give a bit of advice to moms that are just overwhelmed as a mom, I mean, you've shared your story, you walked through 6 miscarriages, that's phenomenal. I can't even imagine the emotional struggle that, you know, one would be is, you know, 6. And, you know, my sister had several miscarriages, and I know, you know, what that was. But if you could share some words of encouragement to moms out there, whether their dad and husbands are engaged or they're single moms, what would be the encouragement that you would share based on what you've learned in your writings as women have responded to your books? Help us out a little bit, because there's moms out there that, you know, you call them golden nuggets. What's the golden nugget that you would share with mom to say, hey, God's in the game with you?
Probably just to take your eyes off yourself, if possible. That's the hard part, because we're responsible, especially single moms, and my hat's off to them. They're my heroes.
Yeah.
You know, and also, you can be very lonely and be married, too. I got an email to that effect today from a mother of 9 who lives in Maine, and 7 are still at home, and she homeschools, and her husband travels all week. Mm-hmm. And her point was, I loved some of the things in Mom Needs Chocolate, because she said, I feel very lonely, and I feel all alone, and I feel like I'm doing it all myself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think there's no easy answer to that, but to try to take your eyes off yourself at least a little bit during the day and put them on the Lord, because he is our source of refreshment and rejuvenation and energies when we have none, and motivation to keep going. There's no other place to get that.
Yeah. Did you find that when you were going through your process that, you know, writing down your thoughts, journaling, you know, being honest and real with yourself, was that something that you did that helped you, that ultimately kind of led to some of your writings and some of your devotions?
I think journaling is a wonderful idea, and I recommend it for everybody, but I am such an airhead that I can't ever remember to journal, so I would start journaling and after 2 days forget about it, and so I'm not a very good example of that.
Okay.
But I think it is a wonderful idea, and it does help. And connecting with other women is so important. You know, the God, Godiva, and girlfriends. Mm-hmm. We don't want to forget that last part. We do get isolated, and we do feel like we're all alone, and that we can't do it, can't take another step. And that's when we need somebody to hold our hand. And that, I forget where the verse is, but the wonderful verse that says, you know, it takes two. I've given you someone to help you when you fall.
Right.
And, you know, that doesn't have to be a husband. A lot of times people use that as a marriage verse, but I think of it as a friendship verse.
Right.
Which can be applied to marriage. They're your friends too, I guess. But, you know, I think that we need that. We need girlfriends. We need to laugh with each other. We need to cry with each other. And, you know, especially Christian girlfriends, people in the faith who help bolster each other up that way as well.
Yeah. You know, one of the key things is, you know, when you say Christian girlfriends, you know, the thing that's really become a heartbeat for me is, and a passion is that I'm not sure that we in the church really get it. There's a verbal faith that says, I profess that I know Christ. But then James says, if there's no works behind it, then your faith is dead. You know, you can say I'm a Christian, but if you're not doing anything to be obedient, then I think that you're basically running around with an empty gun.
Mm.
And David Jeremiah says in his book, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do, is that if there's no works behind your faith, then your faith probably never was alive.
Mm.
And I think that's what Jesus said. There'll be a day when they stand before him and he'll say, depart from me, for I never knew who you were. And it's critical that I think that in our culture today, that in churches that we provide a venue for women to know that it's safe.
Yes.
You know, that it's safe. And that, but, you know, on the flip side, I think that, you know, women many times have to take on that, you know, tough guy mentality because, you know, they feel like they got to carry the ball for everything. And sometimes that, you know, maybe push other people's way and they don't need to have those relationships. So, but you've done a great job. And you've also got a book here called Grit for the Oyster. And when I first saw that book, I was like, well, you know, some of your words and phrases just kind of cracked me up. So, I mean, I don't know if you stay up at night and think about these things.
Well, my mama, who's a real southerner from Georgia, she calls it grits. Grits for the oysters. Mama, oysters don't eat grits.
But you've got some, you know, incredible phrases and stuff in your books and chapters. But you've written this book here, and it's for people that have an interest in becoming a writer.
That's
and
right.
And just like you did. And tell us a little bit about this book, and then you've got a conference coming up as well.
Yes.
For people that have an interest in writing. So tell us a little bit about that conference and that, and we'd love to hear about that and how we can be a part of it.
One of the things that came very clear to me in my traveling around talking about my books is that there's a lot of people out there who feel that God has laid on their hearts to tell their own stories, and they just don't know what to do with them, how to start, what do you do once you've written it. And so I do writing workshops. I do a lot of them. I've done over 100 in the last couple of years around. I do schools and libraries and all types of places. Some of them are little freebies that I try to do. So it just I call it So You Want to Be a Writer, and I have them at libraries or churches even. And then we also have a conference coming up in November. We started the first one last year, and that's called this year we've renamed it to the Florida Inspirational Writers Retreat. It's going to be November 14th in Lithia, and it's an excellent full day of all kinds of different aspects of how you get your feet wet in the sea of publication.
Uh-huh.
We're having a lot of good guest speakers, and it ought to be great.
And how could they get more information on your website?
My website, DeborahCoty.com, DeborahCoty, DeborahCoty.com. And I have a whole page there on the Florida Inspirational Writers Retreat. It tells the itinerary, who's coming, what they're going to speak about, the price, how to register, and everything you need to know.
Great. But we have Jeanette from Sefner. She's on the line. And Jeanette, welcome to Getting It Right After Getting It Wrong. You're on the air.
Hello. Yes, my name is Jeanette Chambers. And Deborah, I just want to congratulate you, compliment you on this wonderful book, Mom Needs Chocolate.
Thanks, Jeanette.
Have you read the book, Jeanette?
I'm in the process of finishing it, and I shared it with my sister today. We were out and about, and I said to her, "Hey, you gotta look at this book." And so I read her a few of the pages, and she was just so impressed.
Uh-huh.
And you know, we were just it was just so refreshing to know that there's somebody out there writing to inspire women, to bring us closer to God, and to build our faith in Him.
Well, that's great, Jeanette. So, well, you got to put the word out there about Debbie's book, Mom Needs Chocolate.
Oh, I'm sharing it with everybody.
Thanks, Jeanette.
I'm sharing it with everybody. It's a great book. I mean, I highly recommend this book to every woman.
Did it make you smile?
It sure did. And it even made me laugh.
Good.
That's
good.
Awesome. Well, Jeanette, I tell you what, do us a favor. Tell everybody about the program and tell them that's where you heard Deborah and recommend her book. And help us out by telling people that you listen tonight, because our deal is that we want to help people and encourage people. And so we appreciate you calling in and listening to the show tonight. All right? You have a great night.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeanette.
Congratulations, Deborah.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, that's neat to hear that story. That's got to be affirming to you. We also have Bruce from Valrico. Hey, Bruce, you're on the line. Welcome to Getting It Right After Getting It Wrong.
Yes, hi. This is Bruce from Valrico.
A guy. Yay.
Yes, a guy. Okay, so most of your books are for moms, but that's okay.
Hey, are you in touch with your feminine side, Bruce?
I try to be. Actually, I had read some of your articles in local newspapers.
Yes.
And that's actually, I just found them hilarious.
Aw.
But then when you started writing, haven't read all of them. I read the first book, The Distant Shore, and then I bought the, The Heavenly Humor.
Yes.
For my wife as well.
Aw.
And I guess what I like most about it, although, you know, again, you're directing it toward moms or toward women, you know, you're real.
Aw.
You know, you tell real stories and you don't try to have a pretense. And, you know, earlier, Kurt, you were talking about reality shows.
Right.
And, you know, Deb just tries to be real.
Yeah, that's what we need.
And I think that's very important in today's society.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Bruce. We appreciate you calling and encouraging her and listening to our show tonight.
Oh, absolutely.
And we've got a few other callers we'd like to get on the line before we go out tonight. So thank you, Bruce.
Thanks, Bruce.
And we have Sandy from Valrico. Sandy, you're on the line. Welcome to Getting It Right After Getting It Wrong.
I love the name of the program because Getting It Right is very good after you get it wrong. But I've just enjoyed so many of Miss Cody's books. They've just been so inspirational, and I think adding humor to life because we take it so seriously
right.
is just such an awesome thing, and Debbie has such a great way of doing that and helping us to laugh at ourselves and laugh at our mistakes and to move on. And to seek the Lord and everything, and so her books have all been very inspirational.
Oh. Well, that's great.
Thanks, Sandy. That was very well said. To me.
Oh, well, thank you.
You should write too.
I know. I am not a writer.
Sandy, thank you so much for calling in tonight, and we appreciate you listening to Debbie, and make sure that you pass the word about her books and encourage your friends to listen, because our heartbeat is to be able to encourage people here at WTBN.
Well, thank you
okay.
for your work.
Well, thank you. Have a great evening.
You too.
Well, what a neat night we've had tonight, Deborah, just sharing your life story. Thank you so much, folks, for listening tonight. If you'd like to get a hold of Deborah's books, you can get a hold of her at Deborah Cody.
DeborahCody.com.
Yeah, it's DeborahCody.com.
D-E-B-O-R-A. My mama was so drugged up, she forgot the H when I was born. So.
There you go. That's a real and honest. And thank you for listening to Getting It Right After Getting It Wrong. Don't forget to tell your friends to tune in. We're here to make an impact on life. And as we say here, there's no greater impact in life than impacting the life of another person. That's our heartbeat. That's our desire. If you'd like to be a part of supporting this ministry so we can reach out and pass the message to help people, we'd appreciate it. Have a great week. And remember, the one that knows you the best loves you the most. Have a great week. Peace out.